Oh my God, we are back for Asian Cult Cinema. This podcast is being filmed before a live feline audience.
Yes, here we go.
Big boy Destructo is back in the studio, ruining everything he can.
He's jumping on people.
Yep, and jumping on Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown.
Yeah, he wants to get on the microphone, but
he's a superstar.
He's kind of quiet.
All right, my name is Mao. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius
from Parts Unknown, and this is Asian Cult Cinema. Slow Robot Production.
A Quinn Martin production.
And Radio St. Pete exclusive. So,
exclusive. That means only.
Yep, that's right? True. Yep.
That means only Radio St. Pete.
So what have you done to us this week, Dr. Morbius?
What have I done to us?
Now, generally we take turns picking, like one week I'll do it, then the next week Dr. Morbius picks one, then next week I pick one. What have you done to us?
Nothing, really. Nothing.
Is that the story you're going to stick with? Or?
That's the story I'm going to stick with. Mm. I'm getting this cat's sniffing me, so I guess he must smell some other.
Yeah, he smells
creature.
BS just like the rest of us. What have you picked for this week, Dr. Morbius?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, you got to be like Pee Wee Herman. I'm sorry.
I figured since we did the Star Wars holiday special, why not just cap it off with Japanese Star Wars?
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Message from Space from 1978.
Message from Space.
Sorry, Vic Morrow and Sonny Chiba. I figured you can't go wrong with Vic Morrow and Sonny Chiba.
Wrong you were.
Yeah, once again, I messed up.
That's okay. Yeah, we're here for all these kind of oddities and strangeness. This movie is really weird.
Confusing,
convoluted. The scenes don't seem to be of the same movie.
Lost in translation, maybe bad audio too on top of everything.
Yeah, but it's not
else.
But that's the thing. It's not one of those that's pieced together. This was filmed. It's just so crazy and so. Why are you a thing? You know,
they actually spent like $5 or $6 million.
Oh my God, is that true?
Yeah, they did. They spent $5-6 million.
Well, the glowing walnut budget was off the charts right off the bat. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. Destructo says I wash my paws at this whole endeavor.
He's got his tail.
Okay, we're gonna pause and get the cat out of the studio, and then we'll be right back. All right, now he's been removed physically from the. So, okay, what the heck is going on in this movie? You know,
it's like Star Wars, except, you know, Japanese.
The first scene is like a planet's being besieged by enemies. Yeah. You know, and there's an old dude.
The Dark Force.
Yeah, the Dark Forces, and then an old dude with a cane and a cloak. Kind of goes, oh, here's these will help find the people that are going to save our civilization.
Like there's like a princess and dressed in white, but she doesn't have two buns on the side of her.
She doesn't.
Head.
She has two buns in her butt.
Buns.
So he throws these things in the air.
Nuts.
They're walnuts.
They're walnuts. That's why he is nuts.
He calls it, he's like, oh, these seeds will find the fighters that will lead us to victory against this tyranny.
The dark side.
And these little glowing walnuts just go flying out into space. And I'm like, now wait, what are we doing here? Because then they get on this weird space pirate ship and fly away as this world is being destroyed.
By the dark side. And the dark side says, hey, they're leaving.
Go get them. We don't want anyone floating around. And
it was a cool little ship.
We're going to start this podcast. I'm going on record saying, look, we are no way going to be able to follow this scene for scene. We're not even going to be able to follow it plot point by plot point.
No.
This is a mess. As I was watching this, I sat back and I was like, I could watch this 10 times and still not be able to say what this movie is about, how it's together. It's just, it is an absolute mess.
They try to do too much in one movie. That's what the problem is. And it's already an hour and 46 minutes, and they still try to cram in too much story.
There's so much stuff going on. There's so much stuff, and you're like, what is this now? Who are you? Why are you here? So anyway, they tie it together with these glowing space
walnuts.
With
the nuts, the space nuts.
So now we go to, I can't remember if we go to the two hot shots
racing. No, I think you go
to
the girl in the girl that's she's on that spaceship almost like a private plane, right?
No, before we do that, I think we go to that general who quits the army.
Well, yeah, he quits the Rick Morrow quits the. He's having a funeral procession for his robot,
right. And he shoots into space.
And the general gets pissed off at.
Yeah,
him.
And the guy calls him. He's like, "What are you doing with that thing?" He's like, "I buried a soldier at space." And he's like, "Who?" And he's like, "My robot bleep bloop." And he's like, "Oh, you've lost your mind." And he's like, "That's okay. I'm resigning.
Yeah, I'm
so
tired of this.
See you later." So yeah. Now he quits and goes to get drunk, and you're like, okay, whatever that was about, who cares? Now flash forward to, like, those kids.
He doesn't find the walnut in his drink yet, right?
No, not yet.
But, okay.
So now you're saying, like, we see the princess is on a or this other princess is on a ship, this rich girl.
This rich girl, yeah. She's on a ship, and they're joyriding through space.
Yeah, just flying around. And two, like, star raiders go zipping by. I forget what they call them. Star wolves or something.
Yeah, star wolves, yeah.
And they're, like, racing around through asteroids.
They're hot rodders.
Yeah, they're hot rodders. These scenes are some of the worst. Yeah. Because they're trying to show these guys in a cockpit, like, in two different cockpits, like, really, really pushing their spaceships. These guys either have no concept of steering and they're just kind of like, if you handed a kid a fake steering wheel and a fake shifter and said, drive a car. You know how like a three-year-old would be like, bah, bah, and just throwing around and doing that's what these guys are doing nonstop. And you're like, wait, what are we doing now? And so they're racing around and she's running on, like, giving the hang loose symbol. Like,
yeah, you're
cool. Yeah. Woohoo. So she runs over and grabs the ship and, like, chases after him.
The captain, she goes, hey, go after these guys.
And they're like, oh, we can't. We'll get your dad'd fire me. And she's like, I don't care. Go.
Yeah.
So these guys are racing around, then they crash their ships.
And they find walnuts in their ship.
They find, oh, the walnuts are what caused it. That's weird. Whatever. Now you're in some cantina scene. They're trying to do the cantina scene with some Yakuza mobsters. And they're like, the one guy's like, where's that money? And he's like, oh, I gave that money to those two. And he's like, well, give it back within an hour or I'll kill you.
Right.
And these guys are dishwashers, but they're like, well, we don't have that money. And then the girl shows up and she's like, oh, I'll give you the money, but you have to take me to Planet Gleep Glop. And then they're like, okay, we'll do. Yay.
Yeah, we'll do that just for the money.
This is like, you're like, what are we talking about here? And they're drinking and they have these really striped wild suits, which I do love their outfits. Like, they are, like, rainbows and vertical stripes down the fronts of pants, and it's a 70s fashion that died that should never have died.
No, it should stay alive.
I wish it would. I would do that
I'm
now.
I'm sure still alive in Japan.
If
somewhere.
I was thin, I would wear those. But if I wore that now, I'd just look like a basketball with stripes on it, and I'm not doing that.
Okay.
So,
not yet.
I would bring that back if I was thin.
Yeah, you like, would. Yeah. I'm sure you would.
I would. Racing stripes belong on all clothing.
Exactly. So... So they're like, they're hooking up with the girl. There's like the hot rider guys. There's the sleaze bag dude and the girl.
So and who's dating the girl? The rich girl. And you're like,
why?
What are we doing here? And they're drunk. And then they're out drinking. And then they stumble in. And then that's when, like, no, what the hell happens here? That's
look, but you basically, this movie is just setting up for all the characters. It's like these three characters are going to be part of the team. Vic Morrow is going to show up later after he's drunk, or whatever.
Yeah.
He finds a walnut in his drink.
Yep.
So he turns out to be part of the team. And then these guys go on all these, like, strange adventures where they end up on another planet, like in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then they keep meeting people. Along the way, they meet Sonny Chiba.
Well, he's like this. But, yeah, first they go up to the asteroids. That's what it is. She pays them to go get fireflies.
That's right, the fireflies.
And then they're like, okay. So they're floating around and they're getting these fireflies, which are just ash. And then they're like, oh, look, there's a ship. And then they go on this ship, which is that space pirate ship.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they get the two who kind of, like, tie it all together. We're going to take a break and try and tie our brains together.
No, they can't.
And then when we come back, we'll go further into
this mess.
Now I swear. The next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
On a mysterious island in the South China Sea, there is a fortress without walls, protected by an invincible army that needs no ordinary weapons. This is Enter the Dragon, the first martial arts film produced by a major Hollywood studio. John Saxon, U.S. Karate Champion Jim Kelly, and Black Belt Hall of Fame superstar Bruce Lee penetrate the secret chambers of Han's evil empire, discover its secret, and destroy. This is Enter the Dragon, where the world's greatest martial arts athletes meet the ultimate challenge with the most ancient and deadly of weapons, the human body. Enter the Dragon. From Warner Brothers, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
All right, we are back.
We're back.
Yeah. One of the things, and before we even get back into the movie, you know, like we were trying to decide, like, or talk about, like, you know, one of the things that's so disheartening is this movie could have been something, but it was just, there was so much, and it was so just like, oh, God.
This is one of those movies where if you just went to the theater and saw it, like at a matinee, it's a good enough time waster. But, man, if you have to describe this, oh, God, it's a headache and a half.
Because there is literally, like, 400 scenes. They're just all pointless and about a minute and a half long.
I mean, they wanted to get as much effects as they could with their budget, and they tried. I mean, they definitely tried. I mean, and it was also, it could be a case of something lost in translation, which is...
Maybe not really. Because now the three of them find these two on this adrift on this ship.
The princess, right? Yeah, and the other guy.
Princess and her keeper. And they, they run away as the evil ship is shooting at them, and they grab them, and they zoom away.
Right.
And they crash land, and they go into the back room of this bar. And that's what, and they're fighting. For some reason, they're like punching each other and stuff. And you're like, oh, can we just get to this? And the colonel and his sidekick, the plucky R2-D2 wannabe, looks more like Tweaky from Buck Rogers.
He does look like Tweaky,
and, you know, except white. And so they're there, and he's like, don't say anything. Let's see what this is about. And they're fighting, and then she's like, no, you guys have the magic walnuts. You're supposed to help me defeat the evil people that are enslaving my race. And one guy is like, loves her for some reason, although they just met. And then the other two are like, no, I'm not going to risk my life for this, blah, blah, blah. And they fight, and then they kind of go to sleep and then wake up, and then the drunk commander comes out, and he's like, I heard you guys talking. And he's like, this is no army. I've led armies. These two are just a bunch of idiots, and I'm drunk, and I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want nothing to do with this.
I don't want nothing to do with this. So they're kind of dejected, and then they're like, oh, well, we'll go to this lizard lady. Why did they go to this lady?
Yeah, they show up in this cabin of this lizard, of this woman, this old woman, and she gives them some drinks that get them, like, you know, messed up or whatever.
Yeah, she poisons them, and then sends them out to find the ship or find something. I forget what they were looking for.
To find something. And meanwhile,
because who cares?
Yeah, because at this point, who cares?
You know,
basically, it's just an excuse to have a fight scene between Lizard, where the son, because her son's the hooded guy, and he's helping. He helped him too fight some people.
Yeah.
So he brought him there, and he pulls back his hood, and he's like a lizard guy. She goes, oh, he was a mutant, and now he wants you for his wife. Yeah. The one girl still there.
Yeah.
Because
what happens, and this is where the queen's keeper is walking with the lizard guy who's cloaked, and then one of our space hot rodders is in the back. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not the hot rodders. The two hot rodders aren't in the scene. The sleazeball's in the scene.
Yeah, the one
and
that
that's
little,
and then the lizard guy knocks the keeper down the mountain, and it turns out that the sleazeball sold them out.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like, for money. Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, see ya. Now the lizard guy returns, and the queen's like, where's my keeper? And she's like, oh, he's dead. And that other guy left, and now you're going to be the wife of my lizard son.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's this now? And then just the evil force just blows the wall in and starts shooting him and takes him. And you're like, oh, well, that was pointless then. And what are you talking about? And how did you get here? And why are you here? You know, so whatever. And then, if
you're out there are not confused yet, well, we'll confuse you some more.
Because then the two hot rodders stumble upon this planet where this guy, Sonny Chiba, you know, with a broken head or a broken horn on his helmet and a samurai sword, kind of walk in, and he's like, oh, they start fighting, and he's like, oh, but maybe I shouldn't fight you because...
They destroyed my planet.
They destroyed my planet too. So now I'm kind of, and I have a glowing walnut.
Yeah.
You know, and then they go back to the bar, and then the Hot Rodders are like, they wake up, and now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we got to save the princess because I love her, but I don't have a walnut, and everyone else has a walnut, and then the rich girl has a walnut. So now this guy...
He's looking for a walnut.
And there's also a dune buggy in this scene. Japan loved the Manx-style dune buggies. There's the VW with the fiberglass body.
Yeah.
I do as well. I mean, if I get one, I would. Drive it around. And people would be like, oh, there's a guy with a dune buggy. And I'd be like, that's right. So anyway, you know, and I have racing stripes on my clothing.
Yeah, right. And a samurai sword.
Oh, yeah.
And a helmet with horns on.
So anyway, now, like, I forget how this goes now. So now
I'm lost.
Now
already.
They're trying to fix the ships to go save the princess who's been grabbed by the dark side.
By the dark side, yeah.
And the one guy's not helping because he didn't grab a glowing walnut. And then they're like, okay, whatever. So they're still fixing their ship. But then he's like, oh, I did find a glowing walnut. So now I'm part of the fun anyway.
Yeah, now I'm a glowing walnut guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they kind of transition away from that. And then they're back on the home planet. And Earth, he says, and then the bad guy's like, oh.
The dark side decides they want to go after Earth.
He's like, oh, look at this. This planet's awesome. It's so
beautiful. Yeah, we already destroyed all these other planets. This planet looks like it's ripe for destroying now.
Yeah, so
And by the way, it's Darth Vader, the bad guy, and mom. He's got his mom with
him. Darth Vader's mom is driving around on the most pimped out wheelchair I've ever seen. It's like Frosty the Snowman went to, like, Pimp My Ride and was like, yo, I want this thing to be the most pimped out, like, wheelchair in the world, but I want it to look like it's icicles and, like, Frosty the Snowman, you know, created this thing. And they're like, we can, because this old lady's like, and she's just melty and weird, you know. and then her, like, pimped out ride is melty and weird, you know. And he's like, oh, now I got you, and I'm going to... You think those walnuts are going to save you, but you won't.
So then when they're getting ready to go to Earth, the I don't know if it was the president or whatever, but somebody contacts Vic Morrow on Earth and says, hey, we need your help, man.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet?
No, first, Earth sends an armada to go to war with these guys.
And they get their butts kicked, right?
They get their butts kicked. Yeah, there's three V-shaped ships that sure do look like those destroyers from the dark side, but they weren't, wink. And there's like this battle, and then they're like, it looks like they're winning, but then they don't, and then they're like, these effects were, I didn't mind these effects.
They weren't that horrible.
Practical burnt fire, explosions, and they did a lot of that, like, they loved that shot from the Millennium Falcon where somebody was in one of those turrets. Like, the same turrets as, like, the B-29s and stuff like that. And they did a couple of those. And then, like, they also liked those, the firing cannons that were, like, pulsing back and forth from the, from that run on the Death Star. Because there was a lot of those shooting, too. Like, you could see what the producer was trying to steal and how badly he was doing it.
But, hey, they tried, you know. They did their best.
So now the Earth Armada is there, and they're like they're fighting, and then it looks like they're winning it for a while, and then then Dark Helmet goes, oh well, I've had enough of this, and then they launch like these things, these starfighters that have this, they look like spiders in space, and then they shoot this glowing like green like ray. That kind of is like the end-all death ray, you know.
Sure, yeah.
So they're blowing everything up. And then finally, a few of the ships do kamikaze runs, but to no avail.
Yeah, they lost. Know.
They lost.
Dark side won.
Yeah,
zero.
Exactly. Good job, Earth. So now Earth is like, rut-row. So now they're like, they approach Vic Morrow, and they're like,
hey. He's still drunk.
He's still drunk. He's just been drunk
for a month.
He's
drunk the whole
movie.
In real life, too, probably.
Good for him. So then they're like, look, we need you to be... You're the best at like pushing around bullies, so we want you to be the special envoy that tries to negotiate peace, but really we're just gonna stall
sort of
while we're getting together,
getting ready our guns,
for one final one final countdown,
which is probably gonna be a losing one.
And Vic Morrow's like, well, I'm drunk, but okay. At first he's like, no, I can't, but then he's like, eh, whatever, all right. We're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap this up into one tidy little Christmas present.
Oh, are we ever.
Oh, my God.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl. Could you,
Rock and Roll High School is an album and a movie. Vince Van Patten is crazy about PJ Souls, but she wants to live a rock and roll fantasy with her favorite group, the Ramones.
Yeah, yeah, she's the one.
The new principal tries to stop the music, but the kids rock and wreck the school. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. Your school could be next. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. The new principal hates the students, but the kids take over and rock the roof off the school. Dig out the sounds of Paul McCartney and Wings. Fleetwood Mac, Devo, Nick Lowe, Chuck Berry, Todd Rundgren, Vince Fabric, Velvet Underground, Brownsville Station, MC5, Eno, Paley Brothers, Eddie and the Hot Rod, Alice Cooper, and starring the Ramones. Rock and Roll High School. Wait a minute, little guy, together.
Hello, my name is Riff Raff. I'm one of the stars of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you're into science fiction, music, horror, comedy, or, dare we say it, sex, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is the movie for you. See you at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
You gotta give me a ride.
I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
All right, we are back. And this is where the reality of how do you talk for 30 minutes about a movie that is inconceivable sinks in, because we're like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Sorry to break the fourth wall, but, you know.
We're going to end this party pretty soon.
Yeah. So, okay, now they go, they find the ship with all the people that are there.
Right.
Like, everyone has their glowing walnuts. Sonny Sheep is there. The hot rodders, the gangster and his girlfriend, the robot finds a glowing walnut.
They've all been captured.
Everyone, yeah. Well, and Vic Morrow goes there and he's like, oh, I'm here to broker a peace treaty and surrender, but give me us a few minutes. And then they're like, we know you're doing a trick. And there's some really clunky scenes here.
And then they have like a duel, right?
Yeah, the duel.
They have a duel where it's like, okay, in order to... You know,
restore your honor, because
you have to like have a 10 paces duel or whatever.
Like, what?
So then they're doing the thing, and then of course the bad guy stops at 7.
And the bad guy has this epic helmet. I forgot to mention this. He has this helmet that looks like it's a gigantic bug.
That's his name, Epic Helmet.
His name's Epic Helmet, and all the stormtroopers, or all those, all his soldiers, they have a cape with like a skull in the middle of it in the back.
They look cool.
If you're in a military that has a cape with a skull in the middle of it, or a skull with lightning bolts coming out of it, like our friend M. Bison from Street Fighter,
you're probably
in a bad organization. I don't know.
I don't want to be prejudicial towards them, but
whatever.
It's like, you know, maybe Oakland Raiders or something.
So he's like, well, now you lose. I know what you're up to, so get out of here. And then the guy's like, okay. So him and the robot jump out, they parachute out, and so does the guy that's with him, the sidekick. So they parachute out, and then the girl and the two space jockeys are flying, the rich girl are flying around, and they do like this, they jump, or they pretend like they crashed but land, and then they get out. So, and then everyone meets up and they're like, oh, we can fly through this little canyon and blow this place up. And, like, you know, it sure isn't that trench run from Star Wars, but it's like that, kind of,
yeah,
wink.
Yeah, they find the vulnerable spot of the ship.
The vulnerable spot of the planet. Like, the planet's like a big Death Star, but they don't say Death Star because, you know, Sue,
yeah,
they get Sue.
Also, even in Japan.
So, now, like, there's some clunky stuff where they're fighting. Sonny Sheba goes through there and tears through the entire army and ends up, he's the guy that kills Darth Helmet.
Yeah, he's the one that
spears
him and throws him out. He falls out to space or whatever.
So you're like, wait, what? Who's the hero of this movie? I mean, I guess Sonny Sheba.
Well, he did have the nut.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Everybody was the hero.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. Yeah. There are no mounds in this scene.
No.
And there's some clunky crap about who cares, and, you know. And then they're like, oh, they're... So then when Sonny Sheba kills Epic Helmet... He throws him into this reactor. The reactor opens up the door for the porthole. Now the two space jockeys, who've been fighting those laser guys, now they have their opening, and they're doing these clunky flying through stuff. And then finally they're like, oh, good, we get... Then they blew it up, and then they get out of there, and we win. And you're like, what am I watching? What are we talking about here?
So, you're watching some, like, weird wow. Star Wars... We screwed this movie up big time. This isn't one of our best moments or whatever.
Not as bad as they screwed this movie up.
Not as bad as they did, though.
There's cause and effect. I'm not taking the fall for this one.
I'm not taking the hit for this bad
You
boy.
Take the fall, message from space, not me. So now they've gotten out and everyone escaped and yay, hooray. But the old man who's the wizard with the walnuts was like, no.
He stays on the ship.
He's like, I'm staying on this planet.
On the planet,
My soul is part of this planet and I'm going to die with it. And the girl's like, oh, but I love you. And he's like, just go find a new planet and be new. And then he dies and ugh. And then the pirate ship takes off and they're like.
They go back to Earth. And the Earth guy goes, well, you know, Princess, you can stay here with us.
Yeah, we love you. You guys are A number one.
And she's like, no, we all got it. I got to go. I got to find another planet.
I have to find a new planet. And then Vic Morrow's like, yeah, and I don't really want to come to Earth either because I hate you. And then the three guys, the two space jockeys.
Yeah, we want to go too.
Can we go? And they're like, meh, sure, why not?
And the girl goes, yeah, me too, man. And everybody in Sunny Chief is like, sure, no problem.
Yeah, and they just leave. And I was like, at that point, I was like, you know, you should probably stop for, like, provisions, food.
Get a couple snacks, some drinks.
Vic Morrow's going to need scotch. A lot of scotch.
He's
going to get pretty uppity and like, have
some... get pretty angry if he doesn't have his booze.
You're going to start seeing pink elephants and start stabbing people,
Yeah, something like that. Whatever happens when that happens.
So anyway,
then
they fly off in the end.
Happy ending.
I've seen my fair share of Star Wars knockoffs, mostly from Italy.
Star Crash.
And others. I mean, I've seen a lot of them in my day. This one was really difficult to get through.
It was very
this
difficult.
This is the second time I'm watching this. I watched it before on my own, without beer. And I was like, what the heck is going on here?
So it wasn't me. Okay.
No, and the second time, and I'm sitting there the whole time, and I'm like, how am I going to make this a show?
You could have stopped it.
I mean, listen, this isn't poor me. We do the slow robots.
Yeah.
We do these. I said, there is a certain responsibility. You have to come prepared. You have to know the movie. And I couldn't wrap my head around this movie. I couldn't get the scenes.
I remember key scenes. I remember some effects.
Kind of.
But what leads to them, it's like, it's so convoluted of a mess. And some of it is like so unimportant.
And why am I here? And what does this mean to anything?
This movie could have edited 15 minutes out of this movie and it would have been just easily digestible.
You could have edited an hour out of this movie.
This one gave me a stomachache.
Been like a half hour show, you know.
It was almost like eating kind of like a nice treat, but it gives you kind of a stomachache. And then it's over. And then it goes away.
Brutal.
Yeah.
This one was really tough, and
they spent money on it. It looks okay for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a terrible movie. I mean, it's not the production wise.
Production's not bad.
They did the special effects. It's those kind from Japan that you love, the real fireballs, real special effects.
I was
hoping
to see a giant monster somewhere. No,
they usually get them in there. Remember that one where they went to the monsters were just fighting on? They're like, oh, here comes these two monsters that fight now.
I like that one scene where they're towards the end when they're at the dark star and the evil helmet is projected above her. I thought that was a nice
scene.
He's
like, maha, and they start shooting at you. You're like, I'm a hologram, you idiots, you know.
But all those little weird scenes with mom and lizard boy and all this stuff is like, why? Get that out. Get to the point. You know, edits. You know, cuts. I know you spent a lot. You know what it is? It's like I spent a lot of money and I want every scene in this because I paid hard earned money for this scene, so I want it in there. And you're like, but no. But no, but yes, put it
on the
extended
version. This is
going to
be one of those
non.
I can't recommend this one.
No, I'm going to give it a 5, and I'm going to say you out there in listener land, you figure it out for yourself.
Okay, this is from Japan,
and
I'm giving this a 4, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm a booster. I mean, everyone knows I love Japan. I love the movies. I love the culture. I love everything about it. This one's bad, man. Just no good. There's no.
It's too bad.
It could have been something, but there's just no reason for it.
It could have been a contender.
And Shiba-san and Vic Morrow and
I
you know, and you're like, wow, how could you miss? And they just
did. They did. They were
a hot casserole of yuck.
Yeah, too bad.
So there you go. I would say steer clear of Message from Space. That's the message from Asian Cult Cinema.
That's a message from
space. And
right
if you're
here.
Listening to this as it drops live, Merry Christmas, one and all.
And happy Christmas and Merry, Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
And Hanukkah and all that good stuff.
And whatever they celebrate on Walnut Planet.
Yeah, happy walnuts.
Happy glowing walnut planet,
everyone.
If you
get glowing walnut, just remember, you may be having to go out and have it. You may be getting a message from space.
If you get a glowing walnut, run right to a tailor and get some stripes put on your clothing.
Exactly.
ASAP.
Yeah.
Stat.
Don't be ASAP.
We're done here. Sing us out of here, Don Sullivan. Merry Christmas to you one and all, and we'll
see you next time for a better movie.
I think we're going to get stomped on by a gigantic green lizard next week.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, I love
girl,
that guy.
Whatever, I don't know.
Don't care.
Gender.
Kill
neutral.
Me.
Gender neutral.
See you next week, everyone.
There was a mushroom, sad little mushroom. There was a meadow, ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children, laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children, laugh. The Lord said, laugh. Children laugh, the Lord said laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah, 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 yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. Then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, 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 laugh.
Sure is. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.